Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of Good Evening and Alfred Hitchcock Podcast. This is Tom Caldwell. I am joined by Chris Haig. Chris, how are you?
I am very well. I mean, we have had some technical difficulties, so I'm a bit stressed, but we're all...
Whatever happens backstage, as long as the audience doesn't know.
Yeah. It's fine. It's all good. I am very happy to be recording, so it's all good.
We're rocking and rolling.
We are rocking and rolling.
So, today we're doing a little different episode. We're going to do an episode on The Blind Men, the BBC radio presentation. But before we get into that, we're going to do some other material. So, we've had a very busy time. This is supposed to be summertime. And we actually decided to give Brandon the day off because he's out traveling Western Canada with his family, having his vacation. But it's been a really busy time for our show. And one of these aspects is a new thing, a new website in Saskatchewan, well, globally, called the Saskatchewan Podcast Network. So this is a new thing where you can go to their website and look up podcasts that are produced in Saskatchewan, which, of course, is the home base for our show, in the sense that Brandon and I live in Regina, and then Chris is our third producer in Britain. So
yeah,
that's an exciting new project.
I think it's really cool. I'm basically trying to make myself an honorary Saskatchewan at this time. Saskatchewan? I don't know how you say
Saskatchewanian. Saskatchewanian.
Okay. Or Reginian? Reginian?
Reginian? Reginian.
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 I'm basically wanting, like...
A person from Regina.
Yeah, I'm basically wanting to become an honorary one of them, because I already listen to the radio a lot from there, so...
You like to listen to Z99?
I really do. It's very cheesy.
That's funny.
It's very cheesy. And I love it.
That's great. Okay. Another project that's going on, if you have a chance, check out Bill and Ted Watch Movies. That's their website, BillandTedWatchMovies.com. I was happy to go and appear on a recent episode with them where they did a general episode talking about Hitchcock. And coming up, they will be doing an episode on Rear Window. So check that out.
Oh.
And Chris, how much fun was our previous episode, Psycho, the Listen Live commentary? It was you, me, Brandon, and Pat McFadden.
Yeah.
We talked through the entire film.
It was... I mean, I'll be honest, I listened to it on the bus going to work, and because it is us kind of... It's us nerding out about one of the greatest films ever made, and one of the scariest films ever made, and it's just the appreciation. And so if you really like our show and you fancy like a much longer version of it, and with Pat, who is amazing and a genius and who does a lot of other Hitchcock stuff outside of being our fantastic, you know, man who knows exactly the right amount, then yeah, it's just it's really fun. I had so much fun doing it. Yeah, because we had to sync everything up, and then we were just chatting and going like, oh, did you notice the thing on the thing, or this is really interesting, or this is a cool fact about how they shot this. So yeah, it is very enjoyable. And, you know, some of our favourite kind of brother and sister podcasts, they do a lot of the commentary stuff as well. And I think it was because we don't do it often. It's the first time we've ever done a kind of a live commentary sort of thing, and I just thought it was just a lot of fun to do. I don't think we should do it all the time because it would lose the novelty and the charm and all that sort of thing.
Well, and just to keep our listeners on track, we are a chronological series.
Yeah,
we are going through the films in chronological order. But we just kind of gave ourselves a summer birthday gift and decided to do a fun tangent on Psycho, like a one-off. And now we're, well, other than today's episode, you know, we'll get back on track eventually. We get easily distracted.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of distractions, we're going to do a fun little trivia game. Chris is going to ask me some British trivia, and I'm going to ask Chris some Canadian trivia. And, like, we've been doing the show for over 2 years, and, you know, we've been trying to give Chris a lot of training about what Canada is all about. And just by the nature of being a Canadian, I should know lots of things about Britain.
Yes.
So, Chris, go ahead. What do you got for me, buddy?
So Tom said, oh, do you want to ask a question? I'm like, yeah, sure. Except in my head, it was like, okay, what is like the weirdest little facts I can find out about the UK and to see whether or not, you know, Tom and the fellow Canadians are aware. So my first one is this. So when you are, you know, writing a letter and, you know, you're going to send it off in the post and everything, what can you do to that that is considered an act of treason? And it's a well-known thing.
Is it defacing the Queen?
So, in a way, yeah. I'm going to give you like half a point of that. So basically,
like her image is on the stamp, right? Her photo is on the stamp.
Yeah. So all of the UK stamps have it's the image of the Queen. But it's not so much what you do to it. So when you deface English money, so if you draw like a mustache on the Queen or something on a £5 note, that is technically treason. But for postage stamp, it's putting the stamp upside down. That's all you need to do, and that's technically treason. It's such
So you might get put in the Tower of London for doing that.
I think they'd treat it fairly leniently, but you know, according to law, that is technically treason because it's.
I will remember that.
This is one I learned today, and if you don't get this, I'm not surprised, but I think it's a genius one. So in the 19th century, what were known as bags of mystery?
Oh, I want to say like a bag of potatoes or something. What's a bag of mystery?
And this is, again, it's kind of gross. So a bag of mystery, it is a foodstuff. It's sausages.
Oh, yeah, because you don't know what's in it. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Because the quality of food back then was awful. So it was it's a sausage. It's a bag of mystery. And then finally, what is the legal drinking age in the UK?
22?
Is that what you're going for?
22.
Okay. The answer is 5.
What? Legal.
So, legal. You can legally give alcohol to a child in your house from the age of 5. So
what's the pub drinking age?
So the pub drinking age is... I'm trying to think of this. The pub drinking age is 18.
Okay.
And for like a restaurant, if you want to have a glass of wine with dinner and it's alongside food, it's 14, I believe.
Wow.
But a lot of pubs will let you get away with it at 16, so it's technically illegal to do it at 16 in a pub. But so technically, a police officer could walk into your home, you're giving a child a glass of wine at age 5, and it's perfectly legal.
Wow.
Not recommended, but perfectly legal.
Coming back across the great ocean, we're going to do some quick Canadian trivia for Chris. 3 questions here, buddy. You ready?
Okay.
What television show featured John Candy, Eugene Levy, Harold Ramis, and Catherine O'Hara?
Oh, God.
It's a four letters. SCTV, Second City Television.
No idea.
Brilliant. Yeah. Taking credit for all things funny in the world, Canadian talent. One more. Here's my second question for you.
Okay.
So our current prime minister is Justin Trudeau. So what is his dad's name and why was his dad famous?
Oh, God. Well, his dad was a previous prime minister.
Right.
And his dad's name... I read an article. What the hell is his dad's name? His dad's name is... Oh, God, I'm going to say, like, Francois.
Pierre Trudeau. Pretty close.
Yeah.
Pretty close. One quickie here. One more quickie.
Okay, yep.
Basketball. Who won the NBA championship this year?
The Toronto Maple Leafs? I don't know if that's a basketball team.
The Toronto Raptors. You got Toronto. Okay, so let's get back to the show. Good job. Yep. We are talking today about The Blind Man, and this is a BBC production, and it's a radio play. And this is a BBC radio, they did a series of unmade movies. Alfred Hitchcock and Ernest Lehman's unfinished screenplay, the follow-up to North by Northwest, completed by Mark Gatiss in 2015, and it was adapted for radio by Lawrence Bowen. And the synopsis is, set in 1961, a famous blind jazz pianist, Larry Keating, agrees to a radical new medical procedure, an eye transplant. The operation is a success, but his new eyes are those of a murdered man. Captured on their retina is the image of his murderer. Larry and his new nurse, Jenny, begin a quest to track him down before somebody else dies. So The Blind Man is part of the Unmade Movies, a series of radio adaptations of unproduced screenplays of the major authors of the 20th century, including Harold Pinter, Arthur Miller, Orson Welles, Alfred Hitchcock, and Ernest Lehman. Now, there's a brilliant narrator who reads like Hitchcock, and he carries the whole play all the way through. So he's portraying Alfred Hitchcock as the narrator. What an amazing rendition.
I think he's done it before. I think I've heard him do the Hitchcock thing before for something, and I can't think what. But yeah, his Hitchcock impersonation is amazing. So, yeah.
Now, this show features Hugh Laurie as the main character, as the jazz musician. And that was very well done. I really enjoyed his work. Now, how does everybody know Hugh Laurie? What's he best known for?
Well, I would guess for American audiences, it is House.
Right, which was the... It started in 2004 to 2012. The Fox television medical drama House, which is... A lot of people will know that. But you know a bit more about him as a British actor, correct?
Well, yes, so he started off with... I don't know if North Americans are aware of Stephen Fry. Might have heard of him. If not, it's totally fine. Basically, right. He and Hugh Laurie were in the same comedy club at, I think it was Cambridge they were both at. And so they became a double act, and they were quite famous for doing comedy sketches. And then Hugh Laurie became really famous for doing a show you may have heard of called Blackadder.
Okay.
Yeah. And Blackadder is basically a historical... sort of mock, like a satire of various periods through history with a lot of the same cast taking on different roles. So, for example, the whole thing is headed by Rowan Atkinson, who's really famous for, like, Mr. Bean and Johnny English.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah. So he's like, he is Blackadder, and so it's basically a single line of, you know, Edwin Blackadder, and then it's like Edward Blackadder 500 years later, and then it's all that sort of thing. And then Hugh Laurie basically is quite good at playing idiots. So he plays... it's amazing. In Blackadder, I think it's Blackadder the Third, which takes place in, like, Regency era. He plays this kind of spoiled man-child playboy. And it's brilliant, and he's really good. And then he also... The fourth and final season takes place in the World War One trenches. And so he plays like a silly officer in that and all that sort of thing. But then kind of Hugh Laurie is just famous for being much more comedic. And then when House happened, it was very, very much a different side of it. So
it's a very dark character.
Well, that's the thing. It's very much in the vein of, you know, the wave of anti-heroes that emerged in the kind of 2000s. Because you had your... You know, The Shield and Sopranos and kind of all these dark characters. And I'm not saying House is anywhere near as dark as those characters who were like villains, but you had a very grumpy, antisocial, antihero, and he pulled him off, really well. And that's what I thought was really interesting here, because he's basically playing... To me, it's almost a bit like listening to like a Raymond Chandler audiobook. He sounds kind of that weariness, that charm. You know, he's not kind of... It's the same thing that... Because I think originally, when The Blind Man was being developed and so forth, Hitch had planned for Jimmy Stewart... to play that role,
right?
Which makes sense, because you can see it if you look at, like, You know, if you look at Vertigo, if you look at Rear Window, if you look at Rope, he can play that kind of tired, weary everyman really well. So I think he would have done really well with this. But, you know, for British fans, it's quite a high caliber cast and, you know, production. So, you know, the female lead is Rebecca Front, who is an actress who... do you know the show Veep?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So basically, Veep was created by a guy called Armando Iannucci, who created a British version about 10 years before that was called The Thick of It, which had Peter Capaldi in it and, you know, a bunch of well-established British actors. And Rebecca Front basically played a proto Veep character in it. And it was, you know, really entertaining, really funny, very dark, very biting and acerbic and all that sort of thing. And she's basically got recognition for playing a lot of very comedic characters. So to see her play a bit of a femme fatale was pretty fun. And the whole thing was kind of... Because I believe it was basically... there was most of it was written, and then Mark Gatiss came in and filled it in and did the ending and that sort of thing. And Mark Gatiss, people will know, because he co-created Sherlock. He has been in Game of Thrones. He has done all kinds of weird and wonderful things. He did a cool horror series a few years ago. I talked about, you know, how he's written for Doctor Who. He's written for all kinds of odds and ends and that sort of thing. So, you know, to get him to do it is fantastic. And as part of the same series, you know, these unfinished scripts and everything, he finished another one that was a version of Dracula that was set in India. I don't think it's available on the BBC iPlayer anymore for people in the UK who'd like to listen to it, but I think you can find it on YouTube along with The Blind Man. So that's, you know, really well worth checking out.
Well, clear, we're playing, we will have linked this on our social media, but there is a version of this on YouTube.
Yeah.
The BBC radio drama The Blind Man would be a good search phrase to look for this. It is available. Yeah. So, I don't know this. What is BBC for?
So, okay, it's weird because it's just like it's shorthand. So basically, the BBC is the British Broadcasting Company, and you know there's various TV channels. So BBC, there's BBC 1, 2, 3, 4, which are all the TV channels, and then there's all the radio stations, and there's about 20 different radio stations. So there's like BBC 1, BBC 1 Extra, BBC 2, BBC 3. So on and so forth. So basically, BBC 4 and BBC 4 Extra. BBC 4 is like factual programs. It's a lot of like documentaries. It's a lot of like factual non-fiction, that kind of thing. And the Radio 4 Extra is where they put all of their drama and comedy. So when I'm at work and I have to, you know, do like admin or that sort of thing, I love to listen to Radio 4 Extra because usually there's either a really good comedy on, and they produce like hundreds a year, or there's some really good dramatics on. So again, they have all kinds of stuff.
With our wonderful podcast, right? We've been going through the technological changes in entertainment. We were in silent films. We went into talkies. We went into modern films with audio and video, everything happening.
Yeah.
And now this is audio. So this is a radio play with no video. Yeah. And back in the day, this is what people enjoyed before television. Families would gather around the big radio. You would go to your friend's house because your friend's family had a radio, and you would sit and listen to the dramas on the radio. And it's entertainment of the air. Like it is literally the audience's imagination making everything up. So it's all about the voice, the sound effects, and the music.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's good that it's still, you know, with the popularity of podcasts, that's basically the reinvention of radio in a big way. And I think it's fantastic that it has still a huge popularity, and you know you're listening to this, and you know hopefully it means that you've chosen this a lot of your own free will and all that sort of thing, but it means that you have chosen, oh hey, I'm actually going to pay attention and listen to something that isn't visual, that isn't, you know, like a movie or a TV show or a YouTube video or some other form of entertainment. It's just listening, and it's the impact that, you know, like you said, Tom, is entirely through, you know, the way that the music's done, way that, you know, the acting is, the sound effects. You know, you've got Peter Serafinowicz doing a frankly amazing job, you know, impersonating Hitchcock, and Hitchcock's effectively doing the stage directions, as it were, and it is like a right. play, as well as a kind of screenplay adaptation. You know, I mean, I not embarrassingly, because shame is not a good emotion, but I contacted the guy who did the music for the episode, because there's a gorgeous bit of music at the very end. You know, I'm not going to spoil it, because you guys really should listen to it and everything, but it's a very beautiful piece of music. And I said, hi, is there any way that I can buy it, or that sort of thing? And he very kindly sent me the link, and it's an unlisted track and everything. But that is the power of how much music can have, you know, an effect, because we're so used to kind of, you know, movie soundtracks being really impactful, and, you know, TV soundtracks and kind of the music that we choose. But to have this entire score, which feels as though it was plucked straight out of a, you know, a lost Hitchcock movie, really makes a world of difference.
It's amazing.
Oh, yeah, it's and so immersive. Yeah.
The music is the jazz clubs, and there's sound effects of ships and boats and dining rooms, and there's Foley effects of people walking away, and there's, like, all the audio production is present. Now, in all the movies that we've been talking about with Hitchcock, right? We talk about how murders happen off camera. He kills the person in the other room. You do not see the murder. And then the audience imagination is more powerful than anything he could put on the screen.
Yeah.
So, in the radio play, the entire 90 minutes is your imagination. So it really, really allows the listener to experience and make everything they want out of this when they listen to the broadcast.
Well, exactly. I mean, you know, even stuff like what the characters look like. So you get, like, little descriptions of, you know, what Larry looks like, what Jenny looks like, what the passengers on the ship look like, or, you know, so on and so forth. But, you know, it's your job to fill that in, and it's your job to kind of, you'll start pasting stuff in from, you know, from parts of your life or stuff you've seen or various kind of odds and ends, and that in a way makes it a purer, more subjective experience, because you don't have an actor visually on the screen that you go, oh okay, that's what that character looks like. Everyone will be a bit different, even if it's down to, oh, I have them in wearing this in my head, or I have them doing that, or looking like this actor or that actress, or whatever the case may be. So it's kind of the beauty of the medium, in a way, is to put your own stamp on it, you know. And, you know, you might know what the actors look like, but a lot of the time they're not, you know, they're not picked because they physically resemble the characters they're supposed to play. They're
right.
Picked
well, because, they're sitting.
Yeah.
They're sitting in a voiceover booth, and everything they're doing is their voice. So they really have to be quality actors, and they portray so much through their voice, because that's all they're working with. And now, out of respect for our listeners, because we realize that most people listening to the podcast today will have never heard this before, and hopefully will have listened to The Blind Man before they listen to the podcast. But even if they listen afterwards, we're not going to spoil the ending, because it's a wonderful story. We did the synopsis. We talked about the setup, and listen to the play if you can. It's very well done. And it's engaging. It's like you're listening, going, oh my God, did that just happen? And what's going to happen now? And twists and turns and everything that's going on. It's a very, very entertaining story.
I was really pleasantly surprised because I thought, okay, I kind of know where this is going. I know, okay, that sort of thing. But no, there's a couple of genuinely fantastic twists throughout the whole thing. I think the conceit is really interesting in that kind of high concept, kind of Hitchcock way. And I think it would have been the most high concept that one of his films has been, really, because it kind of deals with the fantastical. It's all a bit kind of sci-fi. It's a little bit like we discussed this in the Psycho Commentary episode, like Fringe. You know, it's all a bit kind of like Fringe science, like, oh, can you see, you know, the image of the donor's killer, you know, reflected in the eyes and that sort of thing. So I think it's very interesting. Without spoiling anything, the finale is unlike anything Hitchcock has done or would do, but I really enjoy that, and I think it's very well done, mm-hmm. and it pays off kind of character and plot and, you know, a bit of spectacle as well. So, you know, I think that most people would, you know, really, really kind of truly enjoy it. So, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I highly recommend it. Obviously, if people are listening to our podcast, they're Hitchcock fans. This is an opportunity to experience a piece of his work that didn't happen. And it's happening in a different way by different people are finishing it off for him after his passing. Like, this is almost, you know, this is a very much of a tribute to his work. And, again, you know, this is a tangent episode for us. We're kind of just taking a break from the regular films and doing something that we hope is more interesting enough that it adds value for our listener. But I really do recommend, you know, not only getting into, you know, if they haven't yet, go have a listen to this particular radio play, but maybe explore historic radio plays in general. Like, they're all out there. They're all on the internet somewhere. Yeah. And, like, enjoy that type of entertainment. Like, learn about it and see if there's stuff that you like. Listen,
you know, you are very much preaching to the choir. There's a website, which I heartily recommend everyone goes and checks out, called Radio Garden. I don't know if you're aware of this. And it's radio.garden, and it's accessible anywhere. But it basically means you can tune in to thousands of radio stations around the world. So this is how I listen to Z99 in Regina. This is how I check out radio stations all over the globe. And it's free, and you can just do it without needing to sign in or anything. But there's one station that I love in Chicago, which is literally, they just do mystery and suspense plays from the 1940s and 50s and all that sort of thing. It is so good. They're about half an hour long each, and they just run them on loop. And there's hundreds and thousands of these serials. So, you know, you'll be hearing stuff that was very much of the time, and it is a bit corny and it is a bit kind of cheesy in the sense of, you know, all the twists you might see coming, that sort of thing, but they're done with such sincerity and with such charm that I would heartily recommend it. If you're someone who, like me, who has always loved kind of audiobooks and radio plays and, you know, audio dramas and all that sort of thing, I would really strongly recommend you check it out. I think it's just called the Mystery and Suspense Channel, but if you find Chicago on the map and click on it, there's basically a list of the stations, and you'll find it very easily. I would very much recommend it.
And like you were saying, if people are podcast people, they could very quickly become radio play people.
Oh yeah,
it's kind of the same thing. It's really podcasting from the 20s and 30s. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, basically, yeah. Because, you know, a lot of podcasts, you know, I think the vast majority of podcasts, you would argue, are kind of non-fictional. They're, you know, not necessarily documentary, but yeah, they're real life or that sort of thing. But there's such a market for audio dramas or dramatic podcasts. You know, there's quite a few I listen to that are, you know, narrative stories that are kind of as valid as watching, you know, a new TV show or seeing a film or that sort of thing. So yeah, I absolutely, you know, the power of podcasts is fantastic. And if you're someone who hasn't really dabbled into the audio drama side of things, then yeah, you know, jump in, find what it is that you really love. If you really love kind of comedies, or if you really love kind of horror, if you really love, you know, anything. I mean, you know, for people in the UK, I've just finished listening to a Canadian series from the 1980s that is all half-hour horror stories, and they're fantastic. It's from CBC. I don't know if that's just the Canadian broadcasting.
Yeah. Well, CBC is our national broadcaster, like the BBC.
Yeah, so from
that's our big, huge network. Yeah,
yeah. So there's been a series from, I think it was like 1985 or 6 maybe, and it's all these kind of spooky stories, and they're fantastic. They're so good. But that is why I love stuff like Radio Garden, which, to be honest, I learned about it a couple of years ago, and it's been a revelation for me and members of my family, because you do get to kind of explore radio and kind of the radio dramas and the comedies from all over the world, you know. And it sounds like an advert.
Right,
I'm
on.
Also not paid by them. If anything, I'm there like, hey, can we maybe get that Audible kind of that Audible promotion, you know.
Yeah, no, that's great. So any last thoughts on our featured radio play today before we wrap up here?
Okay. For me, The Blind Man scratched an itch I didn't know I had. It's very engaging. It's dry. It's funny. It's elegant in a way. It's very fun and enjoyable. It's a real roller coaster ride. As much as I am equally part sad that this wasn't actually made into a film, because I would have loved to have seen this with, like, you know, James Stewart and Grace Kelly, or, you know, some kind of dynamic pairing. At least it's been completed, and you can listen to it and create it in your own image, as it were. So I would super strongly recommend, if you love Hitchcock, you will enjoy this.
I listened to this on a PA speaker, on a big speaker system.
Oh, wow.
And I played it loud, and it's engaging. Like, it's interesting. And you're like, if I made noise and, you know, was interfering with, I was like, no, I got to be quiet. I got to listen to what's going on. You don't want to, it's one of those, you don't want to miss a minute of what's happening. It's very, very entertaining. Highly recommended. And I love what you said there, that it scratched an itch you didn't know you had.
Yeah.
That'll be our tagline for the episode. Chris,
yeah.
If I was to make you do this, and you had to give this a numbered rating out of 5 with some kind of clever description, what would you say?
The problem is, I was thinking about this, and I'm like, the one I was going to do is a big plot spoiler. So I will say, I will give it 5 out of 5 dead mysterious retinas.
Is my thing going to be a spoiler? I will give it 5 out of 5 men overboard. Anyway,
yes.
highly recommended. And before we go off the top and at the end, we always play our great theme song by Jason Cullimore. We appreciate his work. I went to a friend's house in Saskatoon last week. Mm. He has these 6-foot-high Polk audio speakers. This guy's a huge, his name is Wayne, he's a big audiophile, he's a guitar player. And he played, in his home theater, he played our theme song for me.
Mm.
It knocked my socks off, it was amazing,
wow.
It sounds so good. So if I ever get a, you know, if you're ever in Saskatchewan, Chris, I'm going to take you to Wayne's house, we're going to play that. And thank you to Fandom Podcast Network, as always, for being our host network. And thank you to our sister podcast, Good Evening and Alfred Hitchcock Presents Podcast, for everything that they do. So, Chris, if I was going to go out and look for you on social media, where would I find you? And do you have any other interesting projects going on right now?
You can find me on Twitter at higher_boy. At the moment, Apart from Good Evening, there isn't a lot going on, mainly because I've just moved house, and so I'm just trying to survive each day as it comes until I can get settled. Apart from Good Evening, I also do North by Nerd West, which is me and one of my best mates, Emma Platt, and we talk about all stuff kind of nerdy, and, you know, we just basically sit down and chat and have a good time. We haven't recorded for a while, but we are hoping to get some new episodes out this year. Aside from that, I regularly appear on shows such as Smorgasbord and Eccentric Earth, and I've also done a few guest spots here and there, so hopefully you guys will check me out.
It is always a good time to sit and chat with you, Chris, and we look forward to our next episode when hopefully Brandon will be back in Regina from his vacation, and he'll be well-rested, and we'll get launched into our fall season. So thank you to all of our viewers and our listeners and everybody that comments online and follows us and gives us feedback. We really appreciate all the interaction. Anytime you guys want to get hold of us, look us up on Twitter, look us up on Facebook. Send us your thoughts and your opinions. And before we go, one last time, we wish you good evening.
Good evening.